What's good, y'all? Welcome to the Gen TV podcast. As always, your boy Ease.
Hey, Wonder Sauce Guy.
Good, man.
What's going on?
Not much, bro. Yo, feeling good.
You feeling good?
Feeling good, man.
You've been having a lot, a nice run this year. You know?
Yo, just celebrated my birthday weekend.
Congrats, man. Happy birthday.
I went to my newest vice. I'm in the casinos heavy, bro.
My boy been a casino thotty, bro.
Oh, so let me tell you right. So yeah. Friday night, I was supposed to go one of our boys. He kind of canceled on me last minute. Yeah. So I'm like, fuck it, this ain't stopping.
Yeah, I ain't.
I'm going to the casino.
Yeah.
So I bring like $300 with me, right? I'm playing roulette. Like, roulette's my game. I really only play roulette. I don't play blackjack or baccarat.
Right.
That's some of the more sophisticated casino players play. Yeah. So I've been playing roulette, which is like predominantly luck, right? You really, there's like no
strategy, nothing.
Like,
to
really.
It. Yeah.
Bro, so I'm like, I'm playing, I got $300 with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Might be $400, whatever, right? So I'm playing, I'm winning at first, right? Because you always start off winning. That's how they get you. You always start off winning, right?
Right, right.
So I'm playing, I'm winning a little bit. This like, it's like young Asian dude that's like the spinner. Keep calling me Poppy.
Yeah.
It's kind of irking me, but I'm like, whatever. I'm not even going to address this shit.
Okay.
So I'm like, yo, and then I get down to like my last like 80.
Okay.
So I start off like, I'm lying. So I really start off with 400. Yeah. I get down to 80. I'm like, fuck, man. Like, I'm like, I need some birthday luck.
Right.
Like, I get some birthday luck.
I just spent $400. So you know what's crazy? This is how I know you're becoming like a true gambler. Okay. Because I remember when we would always go to the casino whenever, like, you know, things would come up. Or just like a random day out there. And like our hard limit was $100.
Yeah.
My man done went up to $400 where it's comfortable for this. One, you're doing good in life. And two, you're becoming a true gambler for
real. It all lines up.
Right.
Okay. It all lines up. So part of the grand scheme plan.
Pretty soon this nigga gonna be up to a trip.
So, y'all go to another table, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's these like, it's a full table. I get in there. At this point, I think I got like $80, $100, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So I'm pretty much just playing. I'm lying. I'm down to my last 50.
Okay.
Last 50, bro. Yeah. So I get two quarters, right? Just two $25 chips.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, this one dude next to me, right, is like, yo, like 17 gonna hit. 17 gonna hit.
Mm-hmm.
17 gonna hit.
Yeah.
I'm like, 17.
Is he playing or just a spectator?
He's playing. No, he's winning. He's winning too. Okay. Like, he's got stacks, right?
Okay.
Boy, so, and 17's like, and here's the craziest shit ever, right? Yeah. So before I went to the casino, I was with my younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
So he asks me, like, yo, what's your favorite number? I'm like, my favorite number really like 16 because I was born on March 16, right? Mm-hmm. So he's like, yo, he's like, I wonder what our other brother's number's favorite number is. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, text him.
Mm-hmm.
So he texts my other brother. That's the one I live in Virginia.
Yeah.
And he's like, yo, my brother. So eventually he texts my little brother back. And my little brother texts me. Oh, he said his favorite number 17.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically enough, like 16, 17, pretty close.
Pretty close, right?
Right?
So
the
universe is pointing you in this direction.
It's point. Right. It's point, right?
Yeah, right?
So, yo, and I live, like, my house address is 17.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've always liked the number 17. Like, 16 is kind of like my go-to just because that's my number, right?
Yeah, right.
So I'm like, bro, I'm listening to this dude. I'm like, whatever, man. I got $50 left. Like, I'm here by myself. Like, let me just put 50 on this shit, right?
Yeah.
Thing is, yo, when you down to your last bread, you don't even look at the table.
You don't even care.
Like, yo, I gotta turn my back to this shit, bro.
Like, I'm gonna just put it there and then pray.
So I'm like, whatever. Like, I'm like, yo, I'm calling to the universe. I'm like, yo, come on.
Yeah.
Like, it's my birthday weekend.
Give me something.
Bro, it's spinning. So I'm not looking. You hear the spin, right? And then you don't want to like, start hitting like the little. It's like, okay, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Nigga. That shit hit 17 with $50 on it, bro.
No way.
Yo, like, no lie, a little cum came out. Like, I'm not even lying to you, yo.
A little.
Like, I couldn't fucking believe it.
Straight on. You didn't cut it? You didn't split it?
No. Straight. Okay. 50 on 17, bro. I dapped this man up like 6 times, yo.
Did you break him off something?
No. I break the dealer off something.
Okay,
bro.
Okay.
Bro, so I was like, I got like, I think $1,800 or something.
Really?
Like, it was a crazy come up.
Damn.
Yeah.
Off of $400.
Yeah.
Well, technically off of 50.
But off the 50. But right. I always, I don't count like what I really lost, right? So, I'm sorry, yo. Pretty much, I made like, you know, like $1,200. Yeah. I played a little bit, a little more after that.
Oh no!
I lost a hundred. Yeah. I lost a hundred, and I'm like, all right, fuck it. Let me take my time. That was Friday.
Yeah.
Saturday, I don't really do shit. I think I go out to dinner or some shit like that, right?
Yeah.
So Sunday, it's my actual birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm like, yo, let me spin the block.
This nigga, no way. What is going on here, man?
I'm like, the one I won at was at the one in Springfield, MGM, yeah. Right? The smaller one. That's one I like. It's not too intense. So on Sunday, on my actual birthday, I go to two casinos. I go to Foxwoods and Mohegan.
Yes.
So my parents gave me $200. Like, it was a birthday gift, right? So, boom. So I go to Foxwoods. I'm chilling. Go to Hell's Kitchen. Food's amazing, by the way. First time at Hell's Kitchen.
Okay.
I've never really like thought about Gordon Ramsay like that. I'm like, what the fuck's a white English man know about cooking?
He knows. Know some shit? Okay.
My bad. I wasn't familiar with this game.
Right.
Bro, best dessert I had in my life, yo.
Really? What'd you get?
Yo, it's like they only have like two desserts, yo. It's like his like kind of coffee cake or something. Oh, I forgot what it's called. Yo, as soon as you bite it, no lie, it's like you just know. Like,
really?
This is like have you ever had like the lava cake from Chili's? It's really good. I know you don't like Chili's, but.
Nah, I don't really like lava cake either.
So it's like somewhat like this, but like 30 times better.
Okay.
Amazing.
But it's a coffee cake, so it's
no, it's not like a. I don't even know how to describe it. It's like kind of like a pudding cake or something like that.
Chocolate. Okay.
But amazing, right? Food's really good there. Whatever. So I play at Foxwoods. I pay $100. Lose. Yo, but it's crazy shit is, right? I'm like, so I'm talking to this lady that's on the table. She's in tears.
Really?
Like crying. I'm like, oh, what's wrong? She's like, yo, I just lost $7,000.
What the fuck? What?
Like, yeah.
Like, how do you even... I guess my rationale is, like, ideally, I don't ever want to go to the casino and lose more money than I'm comfortable with, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I go to the casino, and I'm like, all right, like, I could spend this amount and lose it and be good. But then I always go back to the ATM, and I lose more money on top of that, right?
Yeah.
So, I get, like... beating yourself up about that, but to bring seven bands to the casino, like, I guess if I'm thinking the way that if she's operating in a way that I'm thinking, she's good. Like, she really got, like, she got a substantial amount of money. But
with her crying, this was like,
this is detrimental. Like, this was her.
You're about to file for bankruptcy.
This was like life or death for her, and she was hoping that it would have been the life for her,
bro. And she just like walked away into the crowd. I never saw her again. I'm like, yo, I was kind of like, yo, we should put her on like some type of watch.
Suicide watch.
Like, right. I've never seen no shit like that before. Yo, because, I mean, obviously I've been going to the casino a lot, but it's like, yeah, it's money that I'm like, I'm kind of discounted off. You know? If I lose this shit, I'm good. But bro, losing seven bands, like that's
a substantial amount of money.
Because you got to think about how long it takes you to make seven bands.
How long did it take her to lose seven bands?
Oh, she must have been spinning for a minute. Like, you know what I mean? She must have been on the tables, like, just hoping.
Just eating.
Yeah. If I lose 100 at the table, she lost seven bands in, right? I should have took the sign. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, this isn't the table.
So I asked Foxwoods. We go to Mohegan and go to a steakhouse, have a great steak, go to Cigar. I'm having a good time, right?
Wait, so you went to two restaurants in one day?
Yeah. It's my birthday.
Big baller?
Yeah, it's my birthday. It's my birthday. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Celebrating big. So... all right, so now it's like the end of the night. I'm with Shorty, you know, that's just me and her.
Mm-hmm.
So I told you I got 200 for my parents.
Yeah.
I got my own 200.
Mm-hmm.
Lose that immediately.
What?
$400. $400, right?
Gone. $400.
Shorty give me 100.
Yeah.
So I'm down to like $80 or some shit, right? I'm like, damn, like this shit suck. But let me fucking go again. let me keep this shit going, right?
Okay.
Bro, so I go to this table. I'm literally the only person there.
Yeah.
So I started off on the table with like two people. Mm-hmm. Everybody, no one's winning on this table. And so everybody walks off. I've never done this shit. I've never been the only person, on the roulette table, right?
Yeah.
So it's me and the dealer. So I think I got about like $80 left, right?
Right.
So I'm like, so this time I might've had 80, 100 bucks, whatever, right? So now I'm like betting big. I'm putting like, all right, so I put 25 on 17. I'm like,
let me double down.
Right. Don't hit.
Okay.
So I put in like on 25 or some shit. Don't hit. I'm like, fuck it, man. Like, so I put 50 on 13. Ironically enough, before I left, I'm like, yo, I asked my mama, yo, give me some numbers.
Mm-hmm.
She gave me like three numbers. One of them was 13.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, whatever. 50 on 13.
All right.
Same thing, right? But this time I have zero hope.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, all right. Like, I already hit big on Friday. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, what are the chances, right? But I'm like, but once again, I'm looking up. I'm like, yo, this like,
please God.
I'm like, yo, Friday was my birthday weekend. Right. Today's my birthday.
Like, you gotta do your big one on this one.
You gotta come through,
right,
bro? So I keep like, I'm spinning. I keep losing. I think I'm down to like 3 chips. I put that shit all on 13, right? Even the dealer's like, yo, just walk away, brother. Walk away, man.
Right. Don't do it to yourself.
Pretty much.
All right.
So same shit. It's spinning. Tell me why this shit hits.
It hits 13.
13.
Another 1,800?
Nigga.
What? Bro, what the fuck?
I know.
Got, what the fuck you got going on?
Boy.
So wait, so $3,600.
So, nah, so I didn't put 50 this time. I put 25. So I think I ended up getting like 900 or some shit like that. So it's like, so I made what I lost,
mm-hmm,
and some.
Yeah.
But this time I kept playing.
Okay.
And kept winning.
Okay.
I got up to like 1,600. Like,
okay.
So, yeah, pretty much. Then I walked away. So pretty all much, right. Yo, pretty much overall profit of the weekend was like, I think 2,300 or some shit. Like I lost like, I guess 900.
No, 800.
No, I'm saying like
1,800.
No. Altogether, I think I walked out with like 3,200, but I'm discounting like my original money that I lost.
Right.
So overall, pretty fucking good weekend.
That's a great weekend. I think, to be honest with you, my highest win is like 450.
Oh.
Yeah, that's my highest win. And I didn't even expect to win that. So you're playing with big money over there.
But I told myself I'm gonna cool off it though. Like
I think you need to.
Yeah, I felt like the.
I told you
the addiction coming.
I told you need to cool off. I mean, luckily you didn't listen to me and it worked out in your favor. But I think you need to.
Yeah, no, I told myself I'm gonna cool off like for a month or so. You know what
but
mean?
Congrats, man.
Yeah, it was, bro. Winning on the roulette table, that feeling is crazy.
So you've been definitely. This is your year for real. Like you've been having like a good 3 months so far.
Yo, you know what it is, bro? And I know people. We kind of shit on affirmations and stuff that, right? We kind of take it as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
No lie, yo. Like, every day, I tell myself, yo, I'm healthy, I'm wealthy,
mm-hmm,
I'm lucky, and it's really, like, I'm trying to, like,
really
talk myself into it, bro. Because I know, yo, like, a lot of people consider themselves unlucky, because I get it, like, your life's tough, right? I've had, like, a bunch of unlucky shit.
But
I think once you accept that you're unlucky, you really become unlucky. You're lucky,
right.
So I'm trying to change my like state of mind where I'm like, yo, if I believe I'm lucky, lucky things are going to keep happening to me, right? Obviously, like, it's not all about the casino.
You're
you know
right.
what I mean? But, like, in general, like, I want to believe that I'm a lucky person and that good things should happen to me at all times. Instead of thinking, like, that I should have a hard path. Like,
you know what's crazy is that, like, all of my life, I've been a pretty pessimistic person.
And I know.
I try to talk it out all the time. Yeah. I tend to look at the negative side of things a lot, right? And I remember a couple of years back, like, I wanted to change that for a while, and I did, like, the affirmations thing, but eventually that ended up molding into me, like, doing, like, morning devotions, which is essentially the mm-hmm. same thing, kind of like setting your day up right, essentially. So, you know, every day, like, I pray, I read my Bible, and I try to, like, get my mind into the sense of, like, a more positive light than to have, like, this negativity clouding over you, because it's kind of like that thing where, like, you know, whenever you're looking for a car or whenever you're about to buy a car, you see that car all the time, right?
Yeah.
As you're driving on the street. And it's the same thing with, like, you know, positivity and negativity. Like, if you think your life is going to be negative or is bad and, like, it's terrible, you're going to see nothing but negative things happen to you. And when good things happen to you, you're just not going to see it as much. Does that mean that negative things are going to happen to you more often? Yes or no, you know? But it's like you tend to focus more on the negative because they're more impactful. But if you look at the positive side of things more, if you see life in a more positive light, then you're able to appreciate that more often, you know.
Yeah.
So when those negative things do happen, because they're gonna happen, they don't hold as much weight as the positive stuff.
Yo, I think sometimes your faith is tested. Yo,
yeah,
it's
like, for sure.
It's one thing to tell yourself you're lucky,
yeah,
and life's good, right?
Right.
But like, I think sometimes like the universe or God, whatever you choose to believe in, they're gonna throw a little something at you, right?
Yeah, of course.
Like, yo, how much you really believe this shit, right?
Yo, you know what's crazy? I feel we'll get into that in a little bit when we start talking about money. But that's one of the topics that I wanted to discuss as well, because, yeah, man, like I was on a run, and like life has been
a bad run or good?
No, a good run.
Okay.
Yeah, I was on a good run for like the past like 5 or 6 months or so, and right now, this space that I'm in right now is just it's a very interesting and trying time.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that, like, you know, you do have these moments, you know, like, I think sometimes it's like, you know, God does put us in a space to where we have to you know, try a little bit, you know, yeah, like, yeah. Okay, like I gave you this, you feel me? Like I pushed you on this bicycle for this long. It's time for me to let go and see if you could balance on your own for a little bit, you know, and then we'll pick back up and try again a little bit, you know? So I think, and that's something I'm going to start doing. I'm actually going to take from this day forward. I'm going to start, I'm going to try to implement that, you know, start speaking those affirmations. I'm healthy. I'm wealthy. I'm lucky. And what was the last one?
Happy.
I'm happy. All right. I'm gonna start doing
that. Bro, yo, like what I do it is like when I get into a car, right? So whenever I get into my car now, mm-hmm. I tell myself those things, right? Like I'm healthy, wealthy, lucky, happy, and I'm gonna get to my destination safe. Right. Like, bro, at least 3 times a day I tell myself that when I get into my car. Right. And like, and it's just become like a ritual to me because, you know, obviously you'll get into your car, it's like a fucking dangerous thing half the time. Yeah. Like, and you don't even, you don't take it for granted, right?
Yeah.
But I just really try to like, I'm trying to change my way of thinking because I used to be negative like that, right? And I realized, yo, no lie, and this casino shit, like I know it's like not the greatest example, right? And I realized, I'm like, yo, my mind is very powerful when it comes to me and what happens to me.
Absolutely.
And if I keep telling myself that like bad things are going to happen or like, bad things need to happen to me.
They're going.
Like, they're going. Like, yeah. That's why I realized, like, yo, I'm going to attract these things into me, to my life so easily. So why not do the opposite?
Right.
I mean, yo, worst case scenario, like,
I mean, but how do you, like, and without making this episode too long, like, my biggest problem is, I guess, I like to look at the facts and I like to be like, okay, like, this is, like, the realistic expectation of what's about to come. And sometimes it is negative. But then on the flip side, I feel like me focusing on the negative, I look at the negative, but then I also look at how I'm going to plan and prepare myself for when that thing happens. So is it like, how do you, because I feel like if I'm focusing on a positive and a negative happens, then I'm going to be blindsided, you know, and I won't be as mentally prepared.
Yo, I think it comes with the 80-20 kind of thinking or 70-30 thinking. Like, yo, I would say 70% of your thought process should go into the positive, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying like be delusional, right? Like don't think that nothing negative is going to happen in the world, right? But give it like 30% of your thinking process, you know what I mean? I'm not saying don't prep for it,
right?
But don't focus on it as much, right? Like give most of your thinking time into positive outcomes.
Okay. All right. I'm going to try to, because that's one of my biggest downfalls, to be honest with you, you know, like even though like that's like one of my biggest demons that I've battled with for years and I've been trying to like shake that, because ultimately I always look at the negative outcome. And now sometimes do positive things do happen. Like when I don't focus on the situation as much, that's why I don't even really try to harper on a space. Like if I'm going to go do something, I don't even like thinking about it because I just want whatever happens to happen. Because when I focus on it, I tend to go negative and then the negative happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bro, I mean like just kind of using my life as an example, man. Like I'm in such a good place right now.
Yeah.
And like this is a situation like I just never like imagined myself to be in.
Right.
But yo, but like once I stopped thinking that it wasn't possible for me, right? Instead of thinking like, you know what? This is achievable. Mm-hmm. Like people, yo, because I, yo, one thing I like to see is, right, other people achieve things that you want to achieve.
Cause it's absolutely.
Like, yo, like, why can't I be them?
Yeah.
Yo, if you could just honestly question, it's like, yo, all right, like, cause yo, sometimes we look at other people in really good situations, right? And we're like, man, like that's a fucking lucky dude, guy, right? Yeah. But then you got to think to yourself like, yo, why not me, right? Because, you know, a lot of us think of why not me when it comes to a bad situation, right? Like, oh, it's always me.
Why
like,
me, right?
Why me, right? But like, all right, why not me?
Right.
Like when it comes to a good thing, right? Like, why not me? Why can't I be that person? That,
right, yeah.
And then I think of that, like, kind of like changed my perspective on a lot of things. And I think since doing that, it's really worked out for me.
I like that a lot. I'm not going to lie. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about that, bro. Because it's like, especially right now with this space that I'm in, it's a trying time, you know? But I think that I'm gonna actively try to become a more positive person. I've always said I'm gonna do this, and like life just distracts me from like giving it my fullest attention.
But I think that's the testing time of it. Yeah. Though, right. Like I said, like yo, he's not gonna lay out the path for you 100%. Right. He's gonna put that little couple of wrenches in them to fuck it up for you a little bit. Right. Yeah. And I think however you react when bad things happens is what's really going to set you up for the good thing.
Right.
Because if you just give in to bad things, like, okay, this is my life.
Yeah.
Because, you know a lot of people that are like that, right?
Where for sure,
like, man,
for sure.
Man, bad things always happen to me, right? Like, well, yeah, like, it seems like you want bad things to happen to you. It's going to confirm your thought process, right?
Absolutely.
Because, if you think good things are going to happen to you, right? And they're not always going to happen, but if it doesn't happen immediately, right? You kind of feel like, damn, like, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But it's a lot easier to, like, focus on bad things because, like, bad things do happen a lot, right?
Yeah.
But it confirms you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, see, I knew it.
It's like, it gives you that, like, dopamine hit, you know? Like, okay, I knew this was going to happen.
Yo, and it's a lot easier. I think herd mentality plays in a big part of it too, right? It's a lot easier to have conversations with your friends about bad things and good things, if you notice.
For sure. Like, it's kind of like that saying where people want you to do good, but never better than them, essentially. Yeah. You know, like, I'm happy that my friends, like, not me, but like, a person is happy that their friends are doing good, but as long as you're doing good, but you're beneath me, you feel me? But like, the moment you're doing, because it views us, it puts us on the same equal level. And it's one of the conversations I was having with someone recently where like, people want you to like essentially fuck your life up. Like, it's like, yo, I know you're in a bad financial situation. I'm in a bad financial situation, but let's go to the bar or let's go party and like make our situations even worse. Or let's buy these sneakers.
But let's do it together, right? Because if I do it by myself, I'm going to feel a lot shittier.
Right.
Than if I don't have somebody to do it with. Absolutely,
we do it together. I'm gonna feel better about myself, you know, because this is what everyone else is doing. You know what I mean? Like, we're all just fucking up our lives. But it's like, when you really step back and think about it, it's like, no, we aren't supposed to be doing this shit. You feel me? Like, we are supposed to be doing much more than that. So I agree with you 100%.
Yeah,
100% agree with you. But I'm telling you, bro, mark today. I'm gonna actually like try to implement that.
I mean, bro, it's just literally words.
Right.
Like, yo, you're just trying to brainwash yourself. That's what it is.
Yeah, essentially,
it's like,
yeah.
It doesn't cost you anything, right? And it's just like, I feel like there's literally no negative loss in it. Like,
it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That's the only negative
side. Exactly. Like, right. Yo, telling yourself you're lucky isn't going to hurt you.
Right. Nah, but we'll see how it goes. But
okay.
Ready to get a Facebook question?
Let's get into our Facebook question.
All right, cool. Facebook question of the day is, can coworkers be friends? All right. So, Fredley said, hell yeah, some of my closest friends now started as coworkers.
Nice, yo.
And I agree with him. I think that a lot of my close friends, like, I know people, there's word of the streets is I got a lot of friends, right?
Okay.
But like,
you're friendly ass nigga?
I guess so. But the thing is, a lot of my friendships do come from like coworkers or has stemmed from coworkers. Like, even us being friends, you know, like, our relationship kind of built because of a coworker. Because I was cool with Marv. Marv joined the motorcycle club.
I'm like, we never worked together.
Right. But if like, you know, if I had never got cool with him, then I would have never essentially like ran into you and then we would have never been cool, you know? So a lot of my friendships have really like stemmed from work. And some of my closest friends to today.
Okay.
Jared Smith said, only until promotion or someone decides to move to a different job.
That's interesting.
That's a really good one.
That's good. Because it's like, yo, it is easier to be a coworker or friends with your coworker when you guys are on equal levels. But if they become a manager or you become a manager, I think things can definitely get a little
even not fishy. Forget a manager, bro. Any type of promotion.
Really?
Any type of like subordinate to like supervisor level, like it shifts the dynamic. Because it sucks because, you know, as a friend, you would think that I'm expecting you to have my back, right?
Okay.
So, like, I'm expecting that, you know, through and through, you're going to ride for me. But then, like, especially in the workplace, sometimes that can cause, like, a little bit of friction because it's like, now I'm expecting you to have my back even when I'm doing wrong, you know?
And then,
like, that puts my job at risk.
Yeah.
You know? But then, and one of the things that, like, was really tough for me is because, especially in the last job I was working, is me and my friends started off like on equal levels, you know? So we were fucking up together. We were doing the job together.
Breaking all the rules together.
Exactly. Right? You feel me? And then luckily enough, like, I ended up getting a promotion. But then, like, it was a weird space because, like, when my friends are messing up, it's like, it's hard to, like, not give favoritism, you know? It's hard to be like, okay, like, all right, my boy is messing up, but I'm going to turn a blind eye, but this person's messing up and I got to
But then again,
like,
it's like, yo, how do you tell your boy like that he's doing something wrong when just a couple months ago, like, y'all were doing it wrong together?
Right. I mean, but a lot of times I did have that difficult conversation with them.
Okay.
You know, it's like, bro, like, you know you're not supposed to be doing this. You feel me? But then I guess one of the most beneficial things for me is, like, I never really had a situation where, like, they didn't understand, you know?
Okay, so all right, you got lucky. You didn't get, like, too... like a hard-headed ass friend.
Exactly.
Like, nah,
you know,
you got to ride out for me no matter what.
Because two things is like, yo, as a friend, like, as me being a manager or a supervisor and your friend, like, yes, I'm. You're expecting for me to look out for me. You're expecting for me to look out for you. But then as you being my, like, one of my staff members and you're my friend, I'm expecting for you to not put me in a situation to have to look out for you. You feel me? Like, I'm expecting for you to be, like, understanding that, like, yo, you can't be making mistakes. And especially with you being my friend, there's a more of a responsibility on you, because people are always going to think I'm giving you favoritism over somebody else, you know?
Okay.
And people are always going to think that I'm letting you slide and I'm not, like, disciplining you in the way that you should be. And, cause like I said, conveniently enough, like, it just has worked out. And in some spaces, I had to, like, take a step back work-wise. Like, I just distanced myself work-wise from certain people because, like, we were actually friends, you know? Mm. Like, I wouldn't really, like, converse with them too much at work, but, like, we'll have conversations outside of work.
Okay.
Or if, like, you know, they did make a mistake, I wouldn't even chime in. Like, I will let, like, another manager know, but I'll give them the heads up, like, hey, like,
this was coming.
Yeah, you feel me? Like, you need to get on it. You feel me? Okay. Like, but it is a tricky, definitely is a tricky situation.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. I can imagine.
But, Desi Pixie said, only while I'm clocked in.
So that's not really your friend then. Like, y'all could be, so she's saying, like, yo, we cool.
We besties at work.
We cool once I get paid to talk to you.
Right.
But as soon as I clock out, don't hit me.
Yo, we ain't linking up, like, outside of work. Like, we ain't going out for drinks. Don't call me about your boyfriend problems. Nothing. Like, I am not a listening ear. But at work,
we best friends.
We could steal company time. You could tell me you could tell me everything. Well,
that's me.
Really?
That's me.
Okay.
Bro, I'll be cool with you. I'll be cool as shit with you at work.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as we out of work, don't text me about no bullshit. Like, I see you next shift.
Now, see, the thing is, we could be cool as fuck at work, but outside of work, I don't want to talk about work.
Okay.
You feel me? Like,
but that's usually the problem, though. When you hang out with coworkers outside of work, all they want to talk about is work.
You're right. It's like, bro, like, to be honest with you, like, I feel like this is the reason why a lot of people is miserable, is because, like, work is their life. You feel me?
Well, yo, you got to also think about it, right? Yo, you spend more time with your coworkers than you do with your family.
Yeah, with your family. I was literally thinking about, like, that last night.
Insane to me, right? So to think that you really can't be friends with these people that you see more than anyone in your life is kind of, like, shitty, right? Because it's like, yo, these are your closest people, like, in your life. It's like, for the majority of your life, right? Like, yo, what do you see? Like, most people see their, like, spouses or boyfriends or girlfriends, like, maybe 16 hours a week?
Like, yeah, I would say, like, awake,
I'm talking,
like,
about awake time?
3 hours to 4 hours a day, maybe.
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 If y'all live together. If y'all live together.
Yeah,
if y'all don't.
Yeah, you're probably down to, like, four.
Yo, that's why most people have affairs with their coworkers, yo.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing them more often,
it's like,
you know?
Okay.
And you're building a relationship with them.
Rhonda kind of looking good.
You're around Rhonda enough. You know, you're fucking with her. You're feeling like, okay, like.
She ain't really my type,
but I mean, it's the best.
Them
best option here.
Scrubs is fitting nice.
Right. And I see it, bro. I'm actually guilty of it. You feel me? Like, I'm actually dating one of my coworkers right now. You feel me? But, well, that's another conversation. But in healthcare is very common, and it's not a bad thing.
I mean, I work in healthcare.
Yeah.
I said it before. If your girl's in healthcare, man,
charge it.
Yeah, I don't even want to tell you, buddy.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. Like, you would think that a nurse and a CNAs are supposed to be there for the patients, but
no, they are. No, I'm not.
They're not there for the patients.
No, I'm not taking that away from them. They do a great job.
They do a great job.
They do a great work.
But they're not there for the patients. I'm telling you.
No, they're there for the patients. Do they have some off time? So in our downtime,
during them lunch breaks,
is there some mingling going on?
Right. There's some.
What you got to think about too, man. Mm-hmm. Like, they're around men that are very high earners.
Yeah.
Right? Like, predominantly a lot of CNAs and nurses are women, right? Predominantly a lot of doctors are men. A lot of surgeons are men. It's becoming, like, more diverse now, right? But all these women are around these high-earning men, right, that are decently, like, in shape, right?
Yeah.
Like, charismatic and all that shit, right? Like, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, it's a recipe for disaster.
Yo, all their boyfriends need to do is fuck up a couple times at work, at home. They come to work because a lot of healthcare workers, right, pick up a lot of overtime.
Exactly. I was just about to say that.
Most people are doing like 60 hours a week minimum.
12-hour days?
Yeah, 12-hour days. That's a long time.
12-hour days, and you're dedicating to work. 8 hours of the other 12 hours, you're sleeping.
Yo, and a lot of things, you're having a lot of bonding experiences through, like, tough issues.
Tough issues.
I mean? Like,
you're
seeing people pass away.
Good moments.
It's like, there's a lot of trauma bonding going on.
Camaraderie.
Right?
Let's go out for drinks after.
Man, that was a rough shift. Let's go. Yeah, let's go out.
Let me get your number so we can talk about this situation. Yeah, next thing you know,
I've seen it.
Next thing you know, them scrubs is down to the ankles.
Mm.
But I think that outside of the sexual part of it, I think that I don't think it's a bad thing for coworkers to be friends, to be honest with you. I really think that, especially like you said, you know, a lot of times we're going through, like, management don't give a fuck. You feel me? Like, management really don't care about, like, the people lowest on the totem pole. Yeah. They're not really hearing, like, the concerns about what's happening on a day-to-day. And I think sometimes, like, when you do build a relationship with coworkers and just see them outside of coworkers, it does allow for, like, the experience at work to be a little bit more pleasant, you know? Yeah. It's like...
Yo, you ever see a coworker outside of work and you're like, damn, you clean up nice.
Exactly. Like, you start thinking about,
like,
it.
What up? Like, this ain't what you come to work looking
like. Nah, facts. It's a real thing. You feel me? Like, but I think that, like, you know, allowing yourself to just, you know, open up a little bit. Because when you see each other as coworkers, then I feel like that's where, like, the bickering comes into play. That's where, like, you try to stink each other. You're so focused on your job that you're not considerate of what this other person is going through. You tend to lack compassion, you know? Yeah. Your sole focus becomes the patient, which is supposed to be, and not also thinking about your team, you know? Yeah. And I think that this is, like, you know, lightening up a little bit and, you know, at least making morale a little bit better by enjoying, by coming to work a little bit happier.
Bottom line, like, coworkers can definitely be friends. Yeah. I think it makes for a more pleasant work experience.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, you ever work with someone, they come there, like, with that attitude, like, I don't want to fuck with nobody, like, I'm cool.
I don't want
to
deal with nobody.
It's like, it makes it just unpleasant to work with you, right. And it makes you kind of, like, a target. You know what I mean? Like, you ostracize yourself.
You're an outlander.
Yeah, and it's just like, yeah, of course we're not going to want to help you. Of course we're not going to do any favors, because it's like, yo, you come in here, like, acting stink.
Yeah.
So, it's, yo, it's a, you know, what's that phrase? It's easier to catch bees with honey, right?
Than, like, shit, yeah.
So, yeah, I've worked with a lot of people. I used to be that coworker, bro, where I had, like, this mentality that people are just going to, like, screw me over.
Yeah.
So I'd go into a job and, like, eh, fuck everybody here.
Right.
Like, but honestly, I wasn't doing myself any favor by doing that, because at the end of the day, like,
you're just ostracizing yourself.
It's a team, and you're going to need to work with people. Like, it's just bottom line.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get into my favorite tweets of the day.
Easiest favorite tweets.
Dudes only cheat in the beginning. Y'all hoes want to cheat when shit gets serious. That shit had me dead, because it's so true, yo. It's like, yo, why would you wait to
so
cheat
true
when
with
I
asterisk,
love you?
Right.
Like, you couldn't cheat me in the beginning when I didn't care?
I didn't give a fuck.
It's like, we're 8 years in. Now you want to cheat?
Now you want to cheat on me.
Now you want to get back at me?
Yo, that's a fact. That's a fact.
All right. Favorite tweet. Walking at night and there's a woman in front of you going in the same direction as top five most stressful life experience.
Dead fucking ass, bro.
Boy, that one had me thinking,
dead,
bro.
And I hate that we have to feel like this. You feel me? Because it's like, I just want to get to where I'm going. But you feel me? I feel like we are so brainwashed to believe that, like, men are the enemy all the time, that I start thinking I'm the enemy.
Yeah. Like, bro, I'll cross the street, yo.
Yo, dead ass.
I won't walk in the same direction as a woman.
Just to make her feel, so I'm viewed as less of a target.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I just don't want, I want no problems. I don't want her speeding. I don't want to ruin her day. Let me inconvenience myself by walking to the other side.
I don't want
to
log into TikTok later and she's like, oh, this creep's following
me. and it's my face right there. With a hoodie. I just so happen to have a hoodie on. Like, sorry, I just came from the gym.
You know? Bro, but that's the crazy thing about, like, all this man hate that's been going on social media lately, where, like, now we're starting to think, like, shit, I hope, like, you just kind of feel guilty for no reason.
Bro, I think it's even deeper than social media, you feel me? I think it's, like, it's the way we raise our daughters to believe that, like, men are the people that needs to be, like, worried about, you know? Like, we also, even, like, in the news, you feel me? Like, they know that, like, people are going to, kind of, like, with these planes crashing, right? Yeah. Like, it is that much, it's kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, where, like, they're displaying planes crashing more because of, like, that American Airlines helicopter crash.
Yeah.
So now you're thinking that planes crash all way more often than they actually do. So, like, same thing in terms of, like, these, like, SA cases and stuff like that, you know, they know that that's going to get views. You feel me? Like, a missing girl, or, like, this person got kidnapped, or, you know, this situation happened. So they're going to push that. And it's going to look like it's happening
it's
way more often.
Everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. But you're not really thinking about, okay, like, this has happened this time, but then it's been years since the last time we've heard a last conversation about that. Not to say there hasn't been any other situation going on, but you're just thinking, like, damn, another one. And it's like, there's been time in between that. You know, think about how many millions of people are in the world, but then also think about how many women aren't getting the same televised news things about their essays and their assaults on men, you know? Yeah. So it's like, it just sheds us in a bad light. Then you have, like, Law and Order SVU. You got Criminal Minds. You got
all these TV shows.
You got the murder mysteries. Then you got social media. So it's like, it's cultivating this, like, this thing, this character of like men being like a bad, like bad people, that all men are these R words, you know? Yeah, and it's funny because I had a conversation with an ex one time and she was like, I think that I believe every man would R word. And I'm like, what?
Damn, every man?
Yeah, every man. So you think I would? Like, you think in, you think the person that you're dating would do that to somebody? Like,
this is what you think of me?
Like, for real.
She like said, your dad?
She's like, well, no, not you. Of course not me. Yeah. But like,
you're one of the good ones.
Yeah, you're. But like, you, every guy, and this is kind of what we brainwash like our girls to believe, you know? And yeah. I think there's bad people. You feel me? Yeah. Like, there's bad men, there's bad women. Yes, men are more stronger, and it probably does happen more from a male spell. I'm not denying that. But I just don't think it's as elevated as like we want.
Like the media makes it seem.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's gotten to the point, like I said, yo, it makes us nervous. To yeah. Be, like, yo, God forbid something happened to her and I'm the only person that was around at the time. Like, I'm going to life.
A big black guy walking behind you? Like,
all right. Next, my next favorite tweet.
Yeah.
This one's interesting.
Okay.
Found out that men like to gatekeep women they're interested in. Have you ever kind of hit a woman from like one of your boys? Like.
Yes, but not for that reason.
Okay.
I don't want to get played. I don't want to feel like I'm hyping this chick up and then she fumbled a bag.
Oh, okay.
You feel me? It's like one of those, I was explaining this to like my current girl, right? And I'm like, yo, I don't want to like put you out there because like, all right, so guys will like you initially, right? Like our head over heels initially.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire relationship, you guys give us reasons on why we shouldn't fucking like you. And we're just sitting there battling back and forth between like, okay, but this is how I do feel about her, but she did this thing. Yeah. Or she did do this thing. So I was saying that, so to not make it too long, I think that like, we just don't want to look like a fool in front of our friends. Mm. You feel me? It's like, let me keep her tucked away. Let me make sure things are settled. Let me make sure we're good before I start bringing her around my friend group.
Okay.
And, you know, rather than me being like, yo, this is my wife. Yeah. This is my future wife. And then she ends up sucking some dude's dick like 2 days later.
Oh, so I was looking at it like dudes didn't want to bring them around their friends because like some of their friends are like, you know, bitch getters. You know what I mean?
Really?
It's like, yeah, that's how I looked at like.
I get that. I get the point where she's trying to make.
Yo,
because
I don't know if I've ever done that. Yo, like, yo, we all, like every like guy group, right, has that one dude, right? Like he's the elite. That's just like, okay. Like
that's the elite
like,
nigga.
You can't be no bitches around him. Like, they're going to gravitate to him.
He don't care what for whatever. He's going to get the bitches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yo, it's like, if you got a chick that you really like, but you're not really locked in with her yet, like,
you trying to make sure she loves you first.
You can't bring her around. You can't bring her around that man.
She lied would get took.
Yeah.
Nah. I get
that. You can't even blame him.
Ain't his fault, but then you have a little bit of animosity against this nigga.
Damn, man. Like, save something.
Right, bro. You could have turned your good looks off for 1 second, bro.
Facts.
Shut up. Like, yo, why you have to be so charismatic?
All right. My favorite tweet. Motherfuckers was rude as fuck in high school, and now they want us to support their business. Girl, fuck you.
Yo, it's a real thing.
Yo.
Real shit. Like, that's a real thing. I think that, like, you know, a lot of times people are really paying for their karma right now with, like, their businesses. Karma's getting it back
in blood. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to hold on to that shit for life. Like, me and you was beefing in high school.
Right.
Like, don't ever come for asking me for support. Like, I hope you fail. Like, I'm praying on your downfall.
See, I ain't praying on your downfall, but I ain't supporting.
I'm doing it.
I ain't supporting. Like, it'd be like, yo, they be so mean and then want people to support their business. Or they want to rag people and then want people to be there to support them. It's like, come on. You can't do both. Pick a side. Yeah.
All right, this one, my last one.
Right, okay.
Credit Karma. Your credit score is 800.
Right.
Car dealerships, ma'am, your shit 325.
Yo, I'm going through this right now.
Bro, I don't know what credit karma do to get their score, but they really pulling that shit out the air.
Yo, that ass. They like, yo, you good. It's crazy because like I'm going through the process of like repairing my credit right now, right? And I'm not just saying my credit is like it, by the chart, it says good, right? So it's like, but then like I'll like I'm in the process, I don't want to like get another hard inquiry, but I'm in the process of like you know, repairing my credit. So I'll be like, all right, let me see if I'm pre-approved for like this card. Denied. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what more do you need from me?
Like, yo, credit karma, come talk to these people.
Yo, come holla at these people, bro. Like, come tell them I'm a good person.
Bro, that shit happened to me before, yo.
Really?
Bro, I was going off my credit karma score.
Yeah.
Son. This is like a couple years ago, right? I was trying to get a car loan. So I went there initially, got denied, right? So I'm like, all right, fuck. Let me work on my credit. Let me get my shit up, right? So I got a little credit card. I'm making the payments. Yo, am I shit going up on Credit Karma? Yeah. That shit going up weekly.
That shit flying.
That shit going up. I'm like, okay. Bro, I think I was at like 720 or some shit. Yeah. I'm like, all right, it's time.
Yeah.
It's time.
I made it.
I went back to that same dealership. Yo, they ran that shit, bro. That shit was like 420 something.
Really?
I was like, what the? I'm like showing them my like screenshot from Credit Karma. They're like, yeah, we don't know about that. But the shit that count?
Yeah.
Yeah, you ain't
valid. You know what's funny is now that at my big age, I'm actually realizing now that like there's so many different credit scores.
Yeah.
There's a credit score for like auto loans. There's a credit score for home loans. There's a credit score for auto insurance. Like insurance has its own like credit score. And then you have like your regular credit, like a credit card credit score. And it's like, damn, like, why can't y'all all just use the same shit and give me the best one? Like, give me the highest, highest one.
I don't
one.
Know how true this shit is, bro, but I was like reading something, right? Like, I did no research on this, but take it for what it is, right? Pretty much like they started credit score in America, like, as like a way to like deny black people like loans. Like, it was like prior to like, I guess black people having like the right to get loans and stuff like that. There was no credit score. So then they just made this shit up.
Yeah,
to fuck it up for us. You know?
I don't doubt it.
Because, I mean, like I said, I don't know how true that shit is.
Because initially, like the whole credit thing came about from like you would walk into a department store and be like, "Hey, like I want this thing, I'm gonna pay this person directly for this item."
Yeah,
you know. So that's how it came about, and then it just like broadened into like what we have today with the score and the cards and all of this stuff. But usually, it would be like specifically for that one mom and pop shop that you go to and want to get your appliances from. You would go there and like put it on credit, but. Yeah, it don't surprise me that it would use it to be like, okay, these are the people that you don't want to fucking, you want to lend to, you know? And these are the people you want to give all of our reasons. We just get screwed all the time, bro.
I mean, typical American shit, right?
At this point, don't even surprise me.
Weird. All right, bro. So let's talk finances, man. How's shit going?
Bro, it's been horrible.
Horrible?
Horrible.
I thought shit was up.
Yo, it was up. I'm up. I'm up.
But oh, you are up. You are up.
I'm up. I'm up. Let me not say horrible. Okay. This is what I'm talking about with the negativity.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Like, it's like I'm up, but I'm not as up as I would have been, as I should be, or I imagine for myself at this point. Mm. Right. So
I mean, yo, that's always the thing, right? There's what we think life should be, and then there's actually reality.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know. Like, it's like, let me not speak negatively, because honestly, really and truly, I am up.
You're in a grand scheme. You're in a much better situation than you were before.
Much better situation, but overall, like, and I'm being fully transparent now, because you know it's funny, as I was beating myself up.
You typically lie to me.
No,
I hate when you preface one of your things. Yeah. I'm gonna keep it real for once. I'm gonna be transparent today. Like, everything else bullshit?
Nah, I'm gonna keep it real, but I'm gonna keep it even more real right now.
Okay,
you feel me? Like, I was beating myself up last night because I knew I was coming to the podcast, and I wanted to, like, you know, I'm the kind of the one that kind of pushed like this whole like money segment of our podcast, because I wanted to just like, for track yours, track mine's, and like, you know, I should kind of keep myself accountable, right?
Okay.
But then with the progress that I've made, I was disappointed in myself, and I'm like, damn, I'm about to show up to the podcast and like just not be where I want to be at. You feel me? And I kind of like beat myself up about it, but I think it's good, because for the people that are watching in, hopefully one person will see that, yo, you're not alone. You feel me? Like, everybody goes through, like, you know, have financial their ups hardship. And downs. You feel me? Where, like, everything is going, like, you may have a plan, or you may say, okay, I'm going to do this, and it just doesn't work out. But we're going to keep pushing. So where I'm at financially, right? So the past couple of months, or the past, like I told you guys the updates on where I was. My last paycheck was pretty weak because I was sick around that time, and I didn't really get a good, decent paycheck. This paycheck was a decent paycheck.
Okay.
Like, right?
Get that overtime money. That's time and a half.
Yeah. So I got a pretty good paycheck with this one. The problem is, I was reckless with my credit cards.
Ooh.
Yes. I was not staying on top of my credit cards as much as I should have been. So I kind of like overextended myself with my credit cards and pretty much carried a balance over, which my credit score ended up taking, bro. It took a massive nosedive. Okay, so damn. It probably
how many
dropped,
points?
Bro, like, I would say like 40, 50.
You took a 40-point hit on a credit
40
score?
Point hit, which I'm like, yo, this is crazy, right? Mind you, my credit cards aren't even maxed out.
Who do you fucking owe, Trump?
Like, yo, like 40 points, like my credit, because I was like usually keeping like.
That shit swan dive down, yo.
Yo, dead ass. Like, I went from like, I usually try to keep like a 5%
balance on all of my credit cards, mm-hmm. like on the total amount. And I went up to a 25%. And in that 25%, it dropped my points like 40 points.
Bro, I'll be honest with you. Credits sometimes doesn't make sense to me how it works. Right. Yo, you could pay off a credit card and go down.
Exactly.
Like, it just, the way this shit works is like, I don't think they even know how it works, though. Like, it's, right. it must be AI or something.
Bro, deadass. Like, you know, I'm keeping a small balance on all of my credit cards primarily, but they say you want to be under 30%. I'm at 25%. So I should be in a good range, but it then dropped my credit score 40 points. So that's one. That's number one, right?
Yo, did you add the black tax? That's what it is.
So it's
yo, that's why when you fill out these forms, you put white.
So
they give you a different rate.
It's a little bit stronger of a credit score.
Yeah.
But so I ended up, so that was one thing. But I knew it was going to be kind of rough because I usually like to pay up my credit cards like at the end of each paycheck. But with that low paycheck, I just couldn't. You feel me? It was just no way. Like I had to pay my rent in that one and I just needed to, I was going to have to carry a balance over. So I did hit like a pretty high percentage. I think right now I'm up to like 35, but I did get paid. So I cleared off my credit cards, $2,000. Okay. I had to pay out of my paycheck towards my credit cards. With that being said, I ended up deciding during this time, kind of side note, which plays into this, I decided to lock my hair.
Okay.
Right? So I've been having struggles with I've been growing my hair for years, right? Mm-hmm. Probably like since 2016. So, and it's nowhere where it should be at.
Okay.
Right? And I've been suffering with like a lot of breakage in my hair and, you know, trying to figure out what is going on. It's primarily my fault, just like low maintenance, you know, like I'm not really taking care of it like I should be, not greasing my scalp, not adding conditioner and stuff into it. And it's causing it to break off. So I cut my hair a couple years ago, growing it back, and I'm still finding that it's like shedding and breaking.
Okay.
So I'm like, you know what? Let me just lock my hair, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was talking to dudes about it and dudes was like, been kind of, bro, since for like years have been telling me to like lock it. And I'm like, nah, it's too permanent. And I have remorse about doing it. You feel me? It's not too late.
You're not happy. You're not happy you're locking your hair.
I don't want to do it because I just like, bro, I just like,
you know, you seem like you don't really get haircuts. Like mm-hmm. this would be low maintenance for you. Like why? Like I feel like locks is perfect for you.
I just feel like locks are too permanent and they all look the same. You feel me? Like they all have the same exact look. I feel like braids, you could get like different styles, but with locks, it's going to take me years to get to like a certain style.
Yeah, to the point where you can really style it.
Exactly.
Too. Like, you got to go through the ugly phase.
For a minute. I mean, that ugly phase for braids is much shorter than the ugly phase for locks.
Yeah.
You feel me? So, and then on top of that, like, I think like they all look the same. You feel me? Like they all have like the same aesthetic. You feel me? Like, yeah, you get the dyes and stuff like that, but like, it's like, just, I don't know. I feel like my goal has always been to have like a messy bun. That's been my biggest goal with like growing my hair out. Mm-hmm. So I kind of threw that out the window. I decided to get locks. For years, I've been going to my aunt, right? And my aunt charges me a really good amount to braid my hair.
Okay.
Right? And
family discount.
Right. Understandable. A really good amount. Yeah. And the lady that washes my hair is a really good price. So with this paycheck, I was like, you know what? Last paycheck, I was like, you know what? Like, do I want to lock? How badly do I want to lock my hair? Do I want to lock it bad enough that I'm going to like put the money on a credit card and then just pay it off when I get paid? And I was really like battling with myself. And I'm like, you know what? I do want to get out of that habit of like spending money that I don't have. So I'm just going to wait until I get paid. Right. And
something 90% of Americans would disagree with.
Right. So I waited until I got paid and I ended up finding a loctician that eventually did my hair. So when I went there, I got my hair done by this guy.
Hold on. Was he a guy's locking your hair?
Yeah, a guy locked my hair.
Like a man?
Bro, I felt the same way.
Like a straight man?
A straight man.
Bro, I think I'd rather do be gay. Like, I don't know. Have you ever, like, as a man, ever touched your hair before? Anyways, which is ironic because my barbers are always men, but I guess anytime I get my hair braided or touched with it, like, it kind of has to be a woman.
Right. No, and you know what's crazy is that I was actually having a conversation with Carlos, right? And he's the guy that put me onto this, right?
Okay.
Because his son has locks. And he was like, yo, this guy locks hair. And I said, whoa. I don't know how I feel about a man touching my hair, bro. He was like, bro, you go to a barber and they cut your hair. It's the same experience. You're going to have their dick on your shoulder anyway. It's like, you might as well.
Wait, what's your barber do? I don't get that experience.
You might as well go to somebody that's really like know about their doing. And this guy is a good guy. Like he knows exactly like, you know, he knows exactly how to, you know, he knows everything about like doing locks. He's been doing locks for years. I battled with it. Okay. I fought it, but I was like, you know what? Let me just like swallow
it. It just feels weird, doesn't
let
it?
Let me just swallow my inner homophobe and like just get it. Yeah. Done. You feel it did feel weird.
Wait, so you swallowed the homophobe?
Nah, pause.
That was crazy.
Pause, bro. Pause.
You
pause,
said it. That pause. Was nuts.
My inner homophobe. Not it does not even, an it, inner homophobe.
Nah. This dude swallowed a homophobe. what kind of parties you going
to? Nah, that's crazy. So I ended up like you know, swallowing my pride and being like, you know what, I'm gonna just go. So I decided to go to this guy to get my hair done. He did it, you know, perfect guy, perfect situation. The experience in itself was kind of like
a little
different, awkward. You know, but I'm not gonna like, you know, get too much into that. It was just like a little bit different. But after paying for this guy, right? Paying this guy, it cost me $225 to get starter lock.
Start the lock process.
Yeah, to start the lock process, which is a wash and the locking process, right? The comb coils, the twists, and all of that. Mind you, my aunt could have done this for $30.
You think she could have done the exact same thing for $30?
Here's the part that I'm battling with, right? She didn't know. She could do it. She's done twists on me before. She's done comb coils on me before. She didn't know the locking process itself. You feel me? So she has never like done locks. She's really good at braids. She's good at single braids and all of that stuff. But in terms of like the actual locks, like she was kind of like, there was a little bit of hesitancy, not hesitancy in terms of like, she wouldn't have done it.
I mean,
it's
not something
like,
she's done, right? So she doesn't want to commit to it. And like, have
she
it
was just
up.
Like, she's like, I could do it, but like, how do you do it? You know? And I'm like, I wasn't confident in it. So I was like, you know, let me go to somebody that actually knows how to do it. And it cost me $225. And I'm battling with myself because like, I could have literally went to her and like saved so much. We could have watched a YouTube video and like got the shit done. You feel me?
Because moving forward is like, are you just going to go to her?
Here's the part that I'm fighting with. Because with a loctician, like they know exactly what to look out for. They know when like dreads are thinning. They know like how to handle a lock. And it's actually going to cause you a lot of heartache in the long run. But then I'm just trying to battle out like what is most important to me, you know? Where like,
well, you want healthy hair,
right? So it's like for $225 though.
But is that's every session?
Yeah, that's every session. Which every session is like they say like every 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, that's a big bill,
right? Every 4 to 6 weeks. So I'm sorry, 6 to 8 weeks. I'm sorry.
All right, it's a little better, weeks. But it's still, like that's a right. That's a nice little bill.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, where I'm going from paying $35. Total $50 would have got me a wash and my hair twisted at my aunt. I gotta pay $225 and I can't stomach it, bro. Like I'm having like the hardest time. But I was talking to Carlos again and he's like, man, like this is one of the things that I don't understand, especially about men, where like, you know, we'll pay $200 for Jordans and expensive clothes, but then when it comes to grooming, we want to skimp on it.
DBO, but my only debate today is like, all right, if you are spending your money frivolously on other things, but you don't want to spend money on a grooming, I would agree, right? Sure. But if you're already being kind of frugal with everything else, it makes sense to kind of be frugal with your grooming.
Sure.
You know, it's like, it's not like you're splurging on other areas and being cheap here. Like, you're being cheap everywhere.
And that's the thing, you know? It's like, for me, it's like, right now, I don't know. Am I in a financial position to be adding on a $220 bill after just depleting, like after just knocking down like my expenses so aggressively? I don't think so, bro. And I can't really stomach that. But then it's like, my only fear is going the route of my aunt and then like, you know, it creating more damage, potential damage. Not to say that she's going to create damage, but like, you know, just maintenance, signs, red flags or whatever.
Well, I will say, bro, anytime I've ever tried to take a shortcut by going the cheaper route, it always bites me in the ass.
And you know what's funny? When Carlos said that to me, I was like, now that you say that, watch me go the route of my aunt and then it bites me in the ass.
Bro. Be fucking bald by next year.
For real, like I got dreads falling out and all types of shit. So, I mean, that's something me and you could discuss a little bit more later down to kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, bounce some ideas off of. But for me, it was like, it was a big hit, right? So now we're up to $2,300 or $2,200, right? Then I ended up meeting up with Chike and we went out to eat. I haven't been out to eat for a while. And I was like, you know what? I haven't seen Chike in a while. So it's a good opportunity for me to go out to eat.
Yeah.
We went out to eat and I'm expecting me to have to pay like $60 or something like that to like eat out. Like, mm-hmm. So it's not that much. after all said and done, I'm probably up to like $130. Like
of your bill?
Of food. Yeah, of food, what'd drinks you, and stuff like that. What'd y'all get? Just like food. Food and drinks. It's mainly like the drinks, right? Okay. So, you know, once again, just like, I guess just overspending. And I'm being transparent about this is because I'm making mistakes along the way. You know, yeah, like, yeah. It's like a lot, like I really beat myself up about it because like, you know, one, I could have saved a tremendous amount of money with getting my hair done. Two, I could have saved money by like going to a much cheaper.
They're not ordering drinks.
Yeah. A much cheaper alternative. No, the drinks were necessary, but like.
They're not necessary. Drinks are not necessary.
Well, like going a much cheaper route. Right. So like, and I could have like actually put this money into my savings account. So right now, like I pretty much have, I owe my credit card bill, and I used the wrong credit card to pay for this also, which fucks me up, right? Because with my statement date, I should have used like my credit card, which with a later statement date, but I ended up using my credit card that gives me the most points, which the statement date is in like a week or two. So like I have to pay that off before it ends up coming up. So I have like, after I pay that up, I'm probably going to have like $150 that I could actually dedicate to my savings account, which I haven't put in there quite yet. I've been holding on to it and like haven't let go of
for
it.
What?
But like, because like, I guess unexpected expenses, you know, like I'm still in the process of like, you know, trying to like clean some, like the small things up. Like I took care of the big things, but in terms of like the small transactions and subscriptions coming up, I'm in the process of moving those to my credit cards. So that way I don't have to, they're not coming out of directly my bank account. But I've been holding on to it because, you know, I feel like anytime like I end up paying something off, I have like a random expense that hits right after, or I send money to a savings account, I have this random thing that pops up. So like, I've been like kind of like, just like prolonging it to like, to give me that cushion. But here's the mistake where I'm at, right? So update on the account is still at zero.
Damn.
Yep, the count is still at zero.
It could be at 150. It
could be at 150.
Right? But it's at zero.
It's at zero right now. So, which is still a lot less than where I wanted the account to be, you know?
zero is significantly right, a lot less than a lot.
All right, even 150, you know, like 150 is a significantly less than where I want it to be. But a few mistakes I made. Put money in your savings account before you spend money. Like,
when you get money, pay yourself first before you pay anybody else.
Absolutely. And I think that was one of the biggest mistakes that I made was dedicating so much. I wanted to get back to zero with my credit card so badly that I kind of put myself on a back burner.
Mm.
I wanted to get my hair done so badly that I ended up putting myself on a back burner again. And I wanted to go chill with Chike so badly that I put myself on a back burner again. You know, so it's like. But these three things, it pretty much got me to a point right now where I have a smaller amount of money to actually dedicate to my savings account, which if I had put that money towards my savings, like put the amount of money that I wanted to towards my savings account and just managed it, I feel like I would have felt better about like where I'm at now. Even if my credit cards weren't all paid off.
Moving forward, like every time you get paid, like just do it right away.
Yeah. Which,
typically that's what I do.
Right.
Like, as soon as I get paid, I usually just I'll allocate all my money to the accounts that I wanted in before I pay my bills.
Okay. Which is something I'm going to have to take on because, like I told you, I have an account where there's money automatically being added into.
Yeah.
But I'm really, that's kind of just like bullshit money. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not bullshit money, but just like money that it doesn't exist. You know? And I'm not really tracking. But this account right now is the one that I really want to dedicate my energy to, and it's still at zero. And it's like, Adrian.
Do at least 50.
It's funny because on the way in, I was thinking like, you know, I would just add like $50 in it to at least just get it started. But it's like, I'm just like, damn, Adrian, yet again, we have not, another paycheck has come and gone where we have not started this account. But on the flip side of things.
Once you do your first payment, I'm telling you, at least 50, it'll motivate you.
I think so. I think that's what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to add $50 into it. And then, like, on top of that, I at my job, the overtime is slowing down tremendously. So I'm actually getting base pay. Right now, as I'm, like, they've been canceling our overtime. They've been cutting our staffing. And as we speak, I just got a text message saying my shift for today is canceled.
Damn.
So, like, you know, right now we're going through a financial rough spot because, you know, I was kind of banking on the overtime to kind of propel my savings account.
I mean, that's definitely a tough part when you're trying to raise money for yourself is like banking on overtime because, you know, jobs really can't guarantee over time, you know? Like, they come and go. Especially, like, you know, if you're in healthcare and, like, the warmer months, like, there isn't as much overtime. So, it's like, right. If you're banking on money that you really haven't made yet, you're putting yourself in a tough situation.
All right. But I guess, like, you know,
I think this is typically when you kind of start looking maybe for a second job.
Which is something I've been battling on, or I'm battling mentally with, you know, it's like, I don't want to go back to Uber by any means. You feel me? Like, I want Uber to be my last resort. Like, I don't think my car could survive another,
last thing you need is when that big chick to pull up in your car.
For real.
You got to kiss her. Yeah,
bro, it's already on hanging on by third with me. Yeah. So imagine, like, me and her, bro, it'll tap out. Like, and I don't need that expense. You feel me right now?
Suspension gone.
For real. So, like, right now I'm in a space where, like, you know, I just don't want to get back into Uber, but I do want to at least, like, get another job to supplement my income a little bit. But, you know, it's a bittersweet feeling about what is going on right now, because I could only imagine what life would have been like if I did not dedicate my time and my money towards, like, clearing up my debt. Like, essentially, like, I saved myself $1,000 a month but in this entire process so far. Yeah. So imagine if I didn't do that and they're cutting overtime. Like, I would have been hurting, you know? So it's like, yes, the timing is terrible in the sense of it's not allowing me to get, like, my savings account to where I want it to be. But it's almost like the timing is perfect, because as soon as I finish clearing up everything is when
it worked out perfectly.
Yeah. Unfortunate thing is my credit card, not my credit card, my car insurance is coming back up in May. And
you got a month?
Yeah. I got to kind of figure out what direction I'm going to take with that. It's either going to increase my monthly expenses or kill an entire paycheck paying that off. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much my financial update right now.
All
right.
I mean, I don't got too much financial updates right now.
No? I mean, how's things been going for you?
Pretty good, man. Just winning.
Have you increased your savings account or put money towards your savings account yet?
Yeah. So, my last paycheck, I put, I think, $1,000 into it.
Okay.
And then, you know, like I said, my goal this year is just to get to 30K.
Okay.
Kind of far away.
All right.
But
I mean, you're 29 away. I mean, much closer than you were a week ago. So
29,000 to go. But, right. You know, see how it goes.
All right, so
I'm not too pressed for it at this point. You know,
how is the feeling of paying off your house?
Good, bro. Like, it's just good not to, like, even think about it. You
really?
Know? Like, it's just like, you know, when you have a mortgage or rent, like, it's always in on the back of your mind at some point, right? Where it's like, okay, first is coming. Let me just start putting this money away.
Right.
And now it's like, what day is it? who cares?
So, any updates on the condo fees?
No, so in May we're actually having a meeting
to
kind of see where that goes.
So okay,
looking forward to that.
All right. Well, it seems like everything has been on the up for you, and I need you to rub off some of that good juju over here, bro. See, there you go again.
I didn't say
there
shit.
There you go again.
Like, I didn't say shit.
There you go again.
You're swallowing all types of things over here. So I don't know.
Swallowing and rubbing. Like, what is happening over here? It's like a sexcapade going on.
Yeah, but we'll see.
All right, this is where we're at. So, like I said, it's just an opportunity for me to be, like, fully transparent, you know, on kind of, like, where I'm at, you know. And even though I have started this journey, I'm just like you guys, you feel me? Like, I'm making the same mistakes. I'm having the same battles, you feel me? Like, and I'm going through the struggles also, you know.
All right, man.
But we're going to keep pushing.
Yo, just put the $50 in.
Yeah.
Just get it done.
I'm going to do it.
All right, man, let's talk some music.
Yeah.
Okay. So, it's been a couple weeks.
It's been a few weeks.
But I still want to review this album. Right?
Yeah.
So, Drake and P&D dropped an album. Mm-hmm. Some sexy songs for you.
Yep.
Had 21 songs, had features from Yeba and Chino Pacas. I think if that's how you say it. Had 21 songs. So, how you feeling the album? How's it aging? You know, it's been a couple weeks.
I'm not going to lie to you, bro. This album is aging like wine.
I mean, really?
Yo, this is like a top tier album.
Like
probably one of Drake's best projects and like, I would say at least, I was going to say 10 years. I would say at least in the past, like, 8 years. Definitely in the past 5 years.
Okay, so you think Some Sexy Songs for You is, like, one of best Drake projects in a minute?
People have been comparing this to being better than Take Care.
Y'all are out of your mind.
Bro, I swear. And the crazy thing is, like, I said this. I was taken back, right? I'm like, whoa. It's good, but it ain't that good. But, yo, the more I listen to it, this is a really fucking good album.
Yo, but comparing it to Take Care is insane.
Not comparing it. Better than.
Y'all are on that shit. Like, yo, y'all on that Drake juice for real.
Yo, I'm telling you, like, nah, and this is, it's crazy.
Like, because, you believe this? You believe that this album is better than Take Care?
All right, so here's my, I have a biased opinion, right? Because my biased opinion is, I think people put Take Care, like, Take Care is, like, everyone's go-to album. That's like saying, who's your favorite rapper, Jay-Z? You feel me? It's like, everyone wants to Take Care to be their best album. For me, personally, Nothing Was the Same as my favorite album by Drake.
Okay.
That's the one with his head in the clouds for those that aren't really, like, a Drake fan.
His third album.
Yeah. So, to me, like, that's his best project. To following up by that, I listened to Certified Lover Boy much more than I listened to Take Care. And then on top of that, I would listen to Her Loss much more than I listened to Take Care. Okay. Now, Take Care has some staples in there. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. It's
Take Care is legitimately a skip-free album.
It's a great...
From beginning to end.
It's a great, great project. Like, it's a, like, it's a, an elite project. But personally, like, like I said, I always compare songs in terms of, like, replay value, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of songs, like, older songs that I will go to much more quicker than I will go to any song on a Take Care album. You know, so it's like, even some of his older projects I will go to far better than
I get what you're saying, right? Like, I think Take Care is definitely probably his best, arguably one of his best albums.
Yeah.
But I think I listen to More Life than any other project.
Exactly. You feel me? Even that is I listen to
more,
that more
More
often.
Life is.
That's a great project. Like, you feel me? And it's like, you know, it's hard to really, like, when you talk about how good of an album is, it's like, okay, how good is the song? Is the songs melodically? Like, how good is it hitting your ear?
Yeah.
How do you like the information in the songs? But then you also have to really take into fact how much you replay the songs from the album.
Yeah.
You feel me? So it's a great album, but if you're shelfing the album, like, it's like, how good of an album is it?
That's why I say, like, a lot of artists, like, I'll like a song initially, but it doesn't have replay value to me.
Right, right.
There's, like, a lot of artists where I'm like, okay, these are some hot songs, but like, I'm never really going to revisit them.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let me ask you then, right?
Yeah.
What are your favorite three songs on some sexy songs for you?
So, bro, this is a tough one.
Okay.
This is a tough,
give me three
this
songs.
Is a tough one, right?
Give me three songs.
Because I feel, and it's funny because I saw a post about this, right? And they're like, yo, I feel like every day I have a new favorite song with this album. And they're like, this is how I know this album is great, is because people have different, like, favorite songs.
Mm-hmm.
And then every day I'm having a new favorite song.
Okay.
So my current favorite, right,
okay,
is Crying in Chanel.
Mm.
Song I did not like at first.
Okay.
Right? Not to say I didn't like, but it wasn't my top.
All right.
All right. So first things first, my first top three before we get to that, my first top three was Something About You. Something About You, Die Trying.
Okay.
And Somebody Loves Me.
Okay. Okay.
That was my first top three. That's- right now. Somebody Loves Me.
All right.
Something About You. Spider-Man, Superman, and Crying in Chanel.
Okay, okay. All right. So here's my top three songs on the album.
Yeah.
Lasers.
Fire. Bro, fire fucking
fire.
Song.
That's
fire fucking song.
All right. This was not one of my favorite songs initially, but this shit really grew on me.
Yeah.
Nokia.
Bro. It's a great song. Like, and,
I just, I didn't like it. When I first heard it, I did not like
it. And I swear, Drake has this thing, right, where it's like, we want to keep comparing Drake to, like, his past projects. You feel me?
Yeah.
And it's like, and it happens to me, even when for All the Dogs, right? I'm listening to that, I'm like, bro, what the fuck is he doing? Like, come on, bro. Like, are you just giving a shit at this point because you're on top? But then it's like, the more you listen to it, the more you like it. And then when you, like, we have, like, bangers like what is it? Tennessee, the first song, Something Tennessee on that For All the Dogs. Mm-hmm. You got Drew Picasso, which is fire. You got Members Only, which is fire, from For All the Dogs. And it's like, at first,
I'm not gonna lie to you, For All the Dogs aged
very well.
I hated that album initially.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, is this dude, like, just rapping for, like, Who knows, like,
exactly,
at this point? Like, who's the audience for this shit, bro?
Dead ass. I'm like, yo, like, it happens to me every time I listen to the album, and it's the same thing with this album. At first, when I listened to this, I was like, it's all right, right? And I listened, and I listened, and Nokia was one of the songs where I was like, bro, what you got going on? You feel me? Like,
what
it's
a fun song, bro. It's a fun song.
It's a really good song.
All right. Go ahead. All right. So my top three songs are Lasers.
Yep.
Banger.
Banger.
Nokia.
Banger.
Banger Now.
Yeah.
Not initially,
but it's growing.
All right. And then I think we agree on it. Somebody Loves Me.
Bro.
Somebody Loves Me.
That song, it does something in here.
I think that song
here,
is actually one of the better songs where it's a good mix of, I think, P&D and Drake.
Okay.
Whereas I think some songs, like, you know, you're just not really getting too much P&D.
You know what's crazy is that it's funny because it's I saw a post that said I haven't heard P&D. I listened to this album 3 times and I haven't heard P&D yet.
that's
funny, but I think, like, realistically, you know, it is literally a top. This is like, I think the way him and P&D worked on this album is like kind of flawless to me, bro. Like, I like the beat changes. I like the parts where, like, sometimes Drake didn't overpower P&D. He kind of like allowed P&D to shine. Like, when I first when I listened to it, I'm like, come on, Drake. I hate when people rap and like they repeat the same lines over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You feel me? And it's like, I didn't realize that that's just the buildup for P&D to come through and body this fucking song. You feel me? It's okay. Like, all right, like, you're going to get my vocals to where you get the repetitiveness. It's going to get you going. And then you got P&D that comes through and just kills it with the beat changes. And I love it, bro. I love it. All right, go ahead.
I can tell. You're excited.
I'm excited.
I haven't seen this excited talking about music.
I almost got a fucking heart on
minute,
right now.
Man. All right, so what are your top three songs that you thought should not have been on the album?
Not one song.
You got to pick three songs.
Not one song do I feel like should not have been on the album. I'm going to say this, right? I'm going to say that here's the top three songs that I don't listen to as much.
Okay.
But there's not one. I'm clear. There's not one song.
Yeah, okay. This that is should clear, have been on, clear bias.
This
clear
should not bias. Have been on the album. I don't listen to. I don't listen to Meet Your Padre.
I don't know what the fuck he was thinking.
I don't listen to Meet Your Padre, like, at all. It's a good song.
It's not a good song.
It's a good song.
It's not a good song.
It's a good song.
For who?
I think it's.
I don't even think the Mexicans like that song.
It's a good song because it gets you dancing. You feel me? Like, it's a bro. I guarantee.
I thought it was like a joke song.
I promise you, bro. You're not seeing the vision, my nigga.
I'm not seeing. You're gonna go out.
You're gonna hear Meet Your Padre, and it's gonna get you fucking going. Okay. Right?
I know. I could see myself having fun to it as a joke, but to say it's a good song is
it's a good song. A stretch. I think he could have left it off the album, and it still would have been a good album. But I think it's good on the album.
Okay.
You feel me?
Like, okay.
Like, it's good for me. I'm going to get a lot of flack for this. It's a beautiful song. I just don't listen to it much. And it's Pemmy's Dilemma.
So, yeah, it is. He does that in his albums, though, where he, like, has, like, a random woman just, like, singing on it. It is a beautiful song. It's just, like, I don't quite understand the purpose of it.
So here's a theory behind this album, which speculation kind of confirm-ish kind of thing, where, like, he's pretty much, it's written as like a script, right? Where he's talking about, in the first couple of songs, he's talking about kind of like his initial attraction to this girl. Then he's talking about, like, the things that the girl, like, the friction that's going on between him and this girl's attraction, like, between, like, their dynamic in the relationship. Then when you get up to like Pemmy's Dilemma, it's his current girlfriend that, and during Pemmy's Dilemma is pretty much saying like, yo, like, you're about to go out with your friends. They don't hold you accountable for shit. Like, I know what you're doing. You feel me? Like, I know you're going out there cheating on me and your friends are pretty much allowing this to happen.
Co-signing.
Right. So it's pretty much given like a standpoint from like his current girl. Like, he's attracted to a different girl. He's like really like trying to bag this other chick and really trying to flex on this other girl in the beginning where he's talking about like Superman versus Spider-Man, like, I can't save her. Like, crying in Chanel, like, you're all you really want is like vanity things, you know, that you worked hard for, but I could give you so much more. Small town fame, like, you're really like, you're curving me for this nigga that really don't got shit going on for himself, but I'm a much bigger nigga. Like, I'm much more lit.
Kind of haters.
Right. Typical Drake style.
Okay.
You feel me? And then Pemmy's Dilemma leads up to like him going out with his boys, going out to the club, right? Give Me a Hug is like him at the club, where it's like, he's in the club, hugging the bitches in the strip club. He's out with his boys. He's having a good time. And then Raining in Houston is his drive back from the club, where he's on his way back home. and the friction and the conversations going on because the remorse of that.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a lead up, like they're building like this story. He's building the story along the way.
I mean, y'all are turning into some fucking Kendrick fans at this point. Like y'all are just making up these shits. What are y'all talking about?
Nah, but I'm telling. Okay. And I see it.
You all feel right. I see okay. it. I see I, it. Right? Once you break it down, I kind of see the vision.
Right.
But
so like he's pretty much like, you know, any when you listen to it again with that in mind, like, and I could send you a video where a guy like really like breaks it down, you can actually see like how it's a build up to that. So Payment's Dilemma, it's a beautiful song. I think it does deserve to be on an album, but it's just a song I don't really listen to much.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, I would say I have two, which I don't really listen to much.
Okay.
CN Tower.
Yeah, I didn't care for that song.
It's okay. I like how it's like it gives you the build up for the album.
Okay.
I think it's a really good song. And then my last one is Glorious. Mm. I don't really like the whole like UK rap sound. It's not really my thing. So
that was almost actually in my top three.
Really?
I like UK right. rap in general. Yeah. So I think when he does like that tone, I don't mind it.
Right.
I actually hate it that like the fucking sample of Ice Spice in it. Like in between, I always should have just like rapped all the way through it.
Yeah,
but I do like UK rap.
Right.
But a lot of people don't like UK rap, so I can understand like if that's not like your thing, I can understand like why you wouldn't want that song.
Yeah, it's like kind of just like
I thought it was a little random.
Yeah, it could have been done.
I thought it was a little random.
Yeah, it could have been done without. What about you? What's your top?
Alright, so the three songs that I think should not be on Drake's album is this. Is probably gonna surprise you. I don't think "Give Me a Hug" should have been on the album. It's like, yo, if you're gonna make an R&B album, just do it. You know what I mean? Like, don't sprinkle in these rap songs.
I like that.
Now, here's the thing. Give Me a Hug is actually one of my favorite songs on the album.
Right.
But I just don't think it fits in the album very well at all. Especially the placement of it. I don't think it should have been in the middle. I think if he's going to do it, that should have been the number one song. Because it starts off rap, and then the third verse, right, it turns into an R&B vibe, right?
Okay.
So I think if he at least placed it in the first, it kind of would have transitioned better. Because it's like the third verse is R&B-ish. The rest of the album is more R&B.
Right.
So just flow with it, right? Instead of like you're gonna like all these R&B songs and in the middle you just put like the fucking rap song where you kind of address your last year, which wasn't good. It was just, I don't know. I just thought it was kind of random. I think the album could have done without it.
I'm telling you, bro. Listen to the album again with the vision that I just put out there for you. Because like I said, with Pimmy the Dilemma, where she's complaining about this nigga going out, right? Mm-hmm. And Brian Steele, where he was like, fuck it, I'm going out. My girl don't want me home going out, like, but I'm going out with the guys. You feel me? Like, my girl wants me to stay home, but I'm going out with the guys. Like, I didn't tell you to not have friends, pretty much. Yeah. You're like, and then it leads into Give Me a Hug, where he's in a strip club and it's like, give me a hug, give me a hug. And he's going through it. And the funny thing is, the wildest part is, this nigga really lived that shit. Like, he literally just dropped a video. Where, he's walking through the club and he's hugging all these bitches as he's walking through.
With the Spider-Man
thing on. You feel me? And it's like,
very calculated.
I think it's like, it's a really good lead up to Give Me a Hug. I do think that everyone like kind of went to Give Me a Hug because this is like it's a rap response.
It's also a response.
Right.
Like, you know, he's responding to like,
everything that's been kind of happening.
Yeah, like,
right,
yo, how's this guy feeling? Like, well, this is how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and everyone kind of like leaned towards that when that isn't the purpose of this album, like you said.
But that's what I'm saying. I think it takes away from it. Like, I think he could have saved that for his actual album.
Right. But I think, all right, go ahead. But
I thought, I didn't think Give Me a Hug should have been it. Meet Your Padre, it should not be in this album, man. Like, it's a fun song.
Yeah.
I will probably never listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And Die Trying.
What?
Die
Trying is such a great song. Like, it's like one of those, like, I'm gonna set the vision up for you, right?
Okay, set the vision up for you.
Die Trying is like, imagine like it's a summer day, right? You're going on a road trip with like you and your friends, and it's like you're kind of in that in-between stage. Like you're in that in-between stage where you're not really lit from like partying and you're really getting drunk or any of that shit. But then, like, you want, like, some music that's going to, like, lift you up. Or, like, you want a montage of your vacation.
No.
You feel me? It's the perfect setting for that. And I think he really tapped into, like, that whole, like, nostalgic, like, alternative pop that we, like, we grew up on. Like, that, like,
so the, I don't hate the song.
Right.
I don't hate it, right?
Right.
I understand what you're saying 100%. Yeah. I don't hate the song at all. just random as shit. Yo, I think he just had some random songs in this album that kind of threw me off. It's like, yo, anytime I thought I was catching a vibe, like he just threw a little wrench in there. So it's like, okay, like,
no, and I think his wrenches are like calculated, because the three wrenches for me, which is like the songs, the area that gets skipped for me is from Meet Your Padre to Die Trying, right?
Okay,
those ones
actually, that's like kind of like the middle, like right. the middle is just I don't know what he was thinking in the middle. Yo, the beginning's like, all right, minus I think the CN Tower is like, eh.
You're right.
I think the songs get better.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get good.
Right.
And then it's just like, like, where am I? Like, right. Are we still in R&B town? No? Okay.
Right. I think the flow of the album is like, I would say is the weakest part of the album. Right. Yeah. The actual flow of it.
I mean, that's why, yo, like a lot of people were saying, like, yo, the song felt like they just put a lot of like throwaway songs in it. Cause like, I think then the middle is because of that, because it fucks up the flow of the album.
Right. And I think that, like I said, when I'm listening to the song, I could listen pretty much from, like, Mothballs. Mothballs is a banger fucking song, too, right?
And it's okay. It's okay to me.
Nah, bro. That's top tier. That's top tier? That's, like, four on my list.
Four?
Yeah, okay. But, like, so, like, I could listen from Mothballs all the way through, right? And then once I get to, like, Meet Your Padre, it's like, all right, I'm going to skip. I'm going to hit skip three times past those songs okay. And then pick up on Somebody Loves Me.
Okay.
And for me, I think that those songs are great songs. I think it's just like misplaced on the album if he was to do it. Like, I think maybe at the bottom would have probably been better, you know, like keeping those songs tucked at the bottom. But I think he strategically did it so that way, like, you would listen to those songs. Like, they would get play. You feel me?
Okay.
Like, once you get to a certain
part, this album could have been 17 songs. I'll say that.
I think he would have had a strong album if he had left some of it out. But I'm not mad at him putting them in.
I think if this was 16 to 17 songs, I think it would have been much better received. I think he just had too much random songs in there. I think that threw it off the flow of the album.
Right.
Like I said, overall, my initial rating on this album was like a 6.8.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right, though. It did age a little better to me on my second listen. Actually, my third listen. I give it a 7.2. All
right.
What are you rating it?
Like a 9.
This is a 90.
This is a 90.
Oh, so this is top tier.
Bro, this is a top tier.
All right, so let me ask you this, right?
Yeah.
So out of all three of Drake's collab albums, right, we have What a Time to Be Alive with Future.
Yep.
We have Her Loss with 21 Savage.
Yep.
And now we have Some Sexy Songs for You with P&D.
Yep.
Which one
sexy
is...
Sexy Songs.
This is number one.
Number
this
one.
Is number. This number is Drake's one, number one collab
number one.
Album.
Number one.
Better than Her Loss?
Her Loss, number two. Future is number three.
Really?
Yeah. So I think
I'm going Her Loss.
Mm-hmm.
What a Time.
Yeah.
And then Some Sexy Songs for You.
We're just two different
type of listeners.
Type of listeners, you know? Like, I like more, like, I love R&B. I'm not really
so do
like
I.
a big
don't knock me on
no,
that.
No, like, R&B is my thing. You feel me? Like, R&B my thing. I'm not a big rap person. You feel me? Like, mm-hmm. I don't really like rap too much. And honestly, it was primarily Drake that got me into rap. Because prior to Drake, like, coming out in 2008, for me,
you
know, like where he like his initial projects, I wasn't really big into rap. Like, I would have like a couple rap songs here and there, and I actually found out about Drake because I was looking up Brand New by Lil Wayne,
mm-hmm.
and Drake's Brand New kept coming up. Okay. Like, you know, like how in LimeWire where like you'll download a song and it'll have the title and everything, but then Bill Clinton will come up there and say,
I did not have
sexual relationship
with this woman.
Yeah. It was the same thing with this, right? It had the title Lil Wayne Brand New, which right around the city with my Brand New heat, right? So, like, that's the song I was looking for. And it was Drake's Brand New was underlined on it. And I did, like, I downloaded the song, like, three times. So, like, I would upload it to my MP3 player, put it up there. It has the title of it. I'll listen to it. I'm like, yo, what the hell? And I think after the fifth time, I'm just like, yo, fuck it. Like, I'm not even about to delete this thing. I'm just keeping on. And I think I ended up, like, listening on my MP3 player to it, like, I think, like, weeks or days later, and I stumbled on the song. I'm like, damn, I actually like this brand new song.
Whoever this guy is.
All right, whoever this Drake guy is, I like it. And why does he have a fucking pea coat on? But, like, I don't know, but I like it. And it was, that was my first introduction into Drake. But, like, prior to him, like, I would listen to, like, sporadic, you know, rap songs, you know, like, kind of like whatever was popular at the time. But, like, mainly my bag has always been R&B. So, like, for me, this is a number one album, right? So I found the list of albums that people. I actually just found it and it just went away. But I want to see what you think about this guy's list of album, of Drake albums.
Like ranked from one to worst?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
From one to worst, right? We have Views, number one.
I could see that. I think More Life was, like I said, More Life, I think, has the most replay value for me.
Guess where his More Life number is.
Oh, that's probably like his last.
Second to last.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead. Right. This guy don't know what the fuck you're talking
about. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about this guy, right? CLB, number two.
Okay, so yeah, he doesn't know what the fuck you're talking about. Okay, yeah, I already know. This is...
Some Sexy Songs for You, number three. If You're Reading This, It's Too Late.
That's like the only one he kind of got number right four. So far.
Scorpion, five. Thank Me Later, six. Take Care, seven. For All the Dogs, eight. Nothing Was the Same, nine. Her Loss, 10. So Far Gone, 11. Honestly, Never Mind, 12. DLT. What's DLT? DLDT.
Wait, hold on. He has the techno shit over... What the fuck is this guy talking about, bro?
What's DLDT?
I don't know. Which one album was that?
I don't know. I'm gonna go back to that. More Life, 14. What a Time to Be Alive, 15.
Oh, Dark. I don't really count that. Dark Lane demo tapes. Okay, that was like that's like an EP though. That's like five songs. Yeah. I wouldn't count that shit. Yeah, this guy don't know what the fuck he's talking about. Bro, to have the technical, I don't even count that shit. Like, the Dark Lane thing, I wouldn't count as an album.
First comment, I'm going to need you to put some more respect on More Life.
Okay, yeah.
another one. Let's see what you think about this one. Nothing Was the Same, number one.
I'm not mad at it.
Views, number two.
Okay.
So Far Gone, number three.
Bro, So Far Gone is a really good album.
Really fucking good album. If You're Reading This, It's Too Late, number four.
So at least like that's pretty consistent. It seems like if you're reading this too late, it's four or five area.
Yeah, that's about. Thank Me Later, number five. Take Care, number six. Dark Lane Demo Tapes, number seven. More Life, number eight. Certified Lover Boy, number nine. Scorpio, number 10. For All the Dogs, 11. Honestly, Never Mind, 12.
I mean, it was more... Like, am I bugging for thinking More Life is a great album?
No, More Life is a fantastic album. Like, I just don't understand it. Like, for me, I would put like, probably...
More... I think it should easily be top five.
Here's my list, right?
Okay.
Here's what I'm going to
do. All right,
okay. All right, and let me know what you... I'm going to give you the list and like, I'm going to let you decide. For me, I think albums is... Nothing Was the Same, number one.
All right.
I have Some Sexy Songs for You, number two.
That's where you kinda, lose me. That's where you lose me.
Kind of like, it's tough because CLB is like really up there for me. But as of right now in my current space, like Some Sexy Songs for You, two.
Okay.
CLB, number three. I'm going to put it as a very close three.
I'm surprised you like that album so much, yo.
But.
CLB.
Oh, I love that album. But bro, that, to me, that album is a skipless album. Not one song I could skip on that.
So, yo, it is a great album. I just don't. It has great songs, right? I think Fair Trade might be my favorite song on the album.
Sure.
But I don't know. It's like the bangers. They're bangers, but they're not like extreme level bangers to me. Yeah, if that makes sense.
Great. No, they're good. I don't know. To me, it's fire. It's okay. A fire album. I got What else do I got? Where did I stop? I have Her Loss, number four. I have More Life, maybe like number five. Hmm. Number five for me. So Far Gone, number six. Because my favorite song of all time by Drake is on So Far Gone.
Okay.
Take Care, I'll put it like number seven. I think it's like a good in-between. Just my personal take. For All the Dogs, I put that at eight.
Mm.
Honestly, Never Mind, that's last for me. Dark Dark Lane
demo tapes.
Demo tapes is second to last.
I don't
for
count
me.
That like on the, as an album.
But. Yeah, and that's about it. What a Time to Be Alive. That could kind of just like trickle up from there. To be honest with you.
All right. So, ranking my favorite Drake albums. I think. All right. I think Views is a reasonable number one. I will say for number two, I'm gonna say More Life. Number two, I give two to More Life.
Respectable.
Three, Nothing Was the Same.
I'm happy as long as it makes top three.
What? Nothing was the same?
Yeah.
Next, I would say Scorpion's Fire.
Scorpion.
I feel like Scorpion was like when he was like on his crazy run too.
Scorpion had a lot of bangers in there, yeah. Right? It's a don't get me wrong. I'm not discrediting Scorpion. Replay value for me as a body of work.
Not that much.
It's not that much.
Okay.
But
I think it had Scorpion has. I think it has his biggest song ever, which was God Plan.
I think his biggest songs are in Scorpion.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really like Think. Think Me Later is probably next for me.
Right.
I mean, it was just
nostalgic, bro.
It's nostalgia, and it's like, yo, it's just has great songs.
You got the opening with fireworks?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Alicia Keys?
You know, yeah. Like, you hear the fireworks just going off in the background, the raspiness of like the track being recorded. Like, bro, come on. That's a great opening.
I'm gonna end it here. I'm not gonna go through the whole list. I'm gonna go over Her Loss.
Her Loss. What would you say that is the bottom one for you?
Honestly, never mind. Honestly, like, I don't even count that as an album. Like, nah, right. Like, it's just, like, not even no shade, right? It's just like.
It, to me, it's just like.
Whatever. Whatever. Like, yeah, whatever you're doing. That, right. I'm sure somebody likes it, but it's just.
Probably gonna play somewhere, but yeah, just not for
probably
me.
Probably killing it in Europe.
Right. But it's just not for me. But for me, like, to going back to this album, I think this album was a really good album, to be honest with you. And like I said, it was a rough listen initially, and it's like the more I listen to it, bro, I have not listened to another like albums, not primarily song, since then. Like, I could probably say in the past like month and a half, I've only really listened to like if I say 10 songs, I'm probably pushing it outside of this album.
Okay.
Yeah, like I've been listening to this album on repeat, driving to work. If I don't know what to listen to, boom. Like if I don't have a song that's like playing in my head all day at work, just putting this on and letting it run. Driving to work. Stressed out, playing the song, like playing specific songs from this song, letting the album just run through. Like, it's just,
I mean, like, yo, you're just like trying to inflate the numbers at this point.
To me, it's just, yo, it's just a really good album.
Gotta get my man's on the charts.
Nah, to me, it's just a really good album. Like, it's really good. My only, I guess,
not critique
about the album, but just like negative thing that I could look at is like, Playboi Carti just dropped and he has a massive following. So I think, you know, the light is gonna transition to that area, especially with Kendrick Lamar being on the album.
Yeah.
You know,
so we'll end it on like a little bit, but bro, I listened to like the first couple of songs on that Playboi Carti album. I don't know what music is anymore.
Like, but this is what I'm saying. Like,
there's just no way people like this shit.
You know what it is? Yes, it's funny,
bro. It's just literally like I haven't gotten too deep into the album. I'm like five songs in. Like the first three songs are just noises.
Really?
Like, I'm not even fucking with you. Yo.
That's
like,
crazy.
Yo, I've never felt so old in my life.
It's funny because like I was actually had this thought the other day, right? And I don't want to like drag this out for too long, but like one thing that I was thinking about the other day was like, yo, kind of like the shift in which music and entertainment as a whole has taken, where like I feel like we don't have like centralized interest in like certain things, like certain people, certain music, certain movies, or anything anymore. Remember like when we were growing up, it's like we were pretty much told what is hot. You know, like we had the radio to listen to. You hear certain songs repeat on BET or MTV, and like those were the songs, those were the go-to songs for everybody. You know, and like you also had like the giants of that time, you know, where like pretty much if you were underneath there, you weren't really getting too much traction. But like being at the top, like you had only but like these select few of artists to really pick from. You had these select few of TV shows to really watch. You had these select few of movies that were really popping. You didn't have really have too much variety. And I think that, like, Retreat, we have transitioned to it being less centralized entertainment to more individualized entertainment. So, like, I can like you like specific people on YouTube that I want to watch. I can watch specific TV shows that I want to watch, whether it be on Tubi, whether it be on Netflix, whether it be on cable, whether it be on YouTube. And I could like specific artists that I want to listen to, whether it be this sound bottom SoundCloud artist, or it could be
an upcoming artist. They have outlets.
Right.
Like they have ways to reach us, right? Before where they had to go through the corporations, you know, like they have to go through like the studios and stuff like that, where now it's like, yo, I can literally just upload my music anywhere.
Exactly.
Or my content anywhere. And like, I'll find who I wanted to reach, right? Yeah. Or they'll be able to find me. Where before, like, yo, there was only one source.
Right.
Like if you didn't go through them, like no one's hearing your shit. No one's seeing your shit.
And they controlled how you listen to it, because even now, look at social media, right? Where you can, whether you're a Kendrick fan, a Drake fan, a Playboi Carti fan, or even like some of these outliers, like you can really tailor your social media to like,
what you like,
push what you like, you know? Like your social media, like think about the algorithms, like TikTok and Instagram and even a little bit of Facebook, where like the more things that you watch, it's really catered to like you. You know, like the information that you want, whether it be you're thinking about finance and you get more finance videos pushed towards you, or whether you're thinking about partying, you get more partying videos, man hate, woman hate. You're getting like all that information pushed towards you. And then music wise, if you're
That's why everyone thinks they're always right, because always all their content they're watching is validating their own
opinions, you know. And it's like even in terms of music, too, like, you know, I see nothing but like Drake praise on my things. Right. But I try not to even like the Drake videos as much as I would like to, because I don't want to like cater my algorithm.
You don't want
to
be stuck in the bubble of like everything I like is what everyone else likes.
Exactly.
Because
you feel me?
I can't really comprehend that people don't like this.
My point exactly. And, you know, I try to keep like music specifically, I try to keep it as like as less biased as possible.
Vague.
Yeah. Because I just don't want that, like, you know, my image of what something is doing is being skewed by like what my algorithm says. So yeah, I think that, like, you know, we're really transitioning to where we're seeing like some of these, and I feel like that's why we're seeing like these bigger artists struggle as much, because people just aren't really like, I'm not a Drake fan, but like, okay, Drake songs, I'm hearing Drake songs constantly, so like I do like this song, so I'm gonna listen to it. But now they don't even have to listen to it, you feel me? I could just listen to whatever artist I want to listen to and just run their shit up. And I think going in terms of like Playboi Carti, where this man hasn't dropped an album, I think they said in like 7 years or 9 years or something like that, and he's still massive. And you have Lil Uzi Vert that is like even bigger than him. Yeah. And it's like you allow these people to, like, you know, come in and just have like just dominate those people, you know, like they just dominate people that look like them and talk like them and go through the same experiences, you know. And that's why we don't have like these heavy hitters like really push, like kind of like competing with like the smaller fish, you know. But
I mean, so it should be, bro. You should be able to own, like, what you like.
Yeah,
like, it shouldn't be forced down your throat, like,
right. But that's pretty much where we're at. But overall, like I said, I enjoyed the album. I think great episode. Yeah, I think we did a good job on this episode. But
all right, man. All right, if you made it this far, make sure y'all drop a like, drop a comment, hit that sub button, and we'll see you next episode.
Later.
Peace.